Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast. My name is Jordan, and every single week we talk about esports, we talk about gaming. Sometimes we have guests on, sometimes it's just me holding down the fort by myself. But luckily this week, we have a very special guest, and I'm very excited to get into some awesome conversations about Canadian esports and how we can kind of build those up. So today, amongst other things, I'm going to do a little introduction here. We have Melanie, who is the commissioner of the Canadian Esports Championship Series, as well as the founder and executive director of operations for Manitoba Esports Association. Melanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Did I miss some things there on the little intro about more things that you do?
No, I mean I do a lot. I do a lot of things, but no, those are the two right now that I'm like most active with. So. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm excited to talk about things because I know we just had a quick conversation before we started, and there's definitely a lot that we can dive into in here. So
yeah, exactly. And I'm excited as well because you're kind of the first person I've had on who's not a player and someone who's not just Rocket League related, because our org right now is Cryus. We're trying to get into some other games like Valorant and stuff, but right now we've been in Rocket League for the past year. So now it's kind of nice to be able to expand our horizons. And I think we'll have some really good conversations about esports and stuff in general, because you have a lot of insights and you're a leader in esports in my eyes. So it'll be great.
Yeah.
All right. First thing, just to get everybody kind of caught up with who you are and everything, do you want to just talk a little bit about yourself, some of your background, and, you know, some games you're interested in and all that?
Yeah. So, as you know, my name is Melanie. Most people know me as Mel Life, the person you see playing League or Valorant. I've been in this scene for a long time. Kind of feel a bit old, even though I'm not. I'm in my mid-20s. Turning 26 this year, it's kind of crazy. But I've been here for many years. Kind of started out as just a player, one of the only girls going to Comic-Con, playing at the tournaments that they had there with AYBO Online. And that was really fun, but I kind of got like worked my way into the esports realm where I became friends with some of the players at University of Manitoba. I was invited. I was studying political science at University of Winnipeg. Got asked to go to U of M to kind of take over esports because they knew that I was passionate, and I'd also worked with, like, I went to school before for marketing and media management, so. I went to U of M and found my partner, Lariz, and her and I kind of like pushed the esports club there a little bit further than the other group did. And yeah, when we graduated and moved on, like, we created Manitoba Esports Association, and we ran, you know, tournaments and events. We had like some, it kind of just all blew up. It all happened so fast. And now we're here three years later, and it's like, it's crazy. Like, so many things have happened, and it's been really great. So that's sort of like the short story of Manitoba Esports kind of came about. It was actually just through the U of M. Oh, okay. And kind of grew into something really great, and we had a lot of momentum going for us, and then we got a lot of big contracts, people coming our way and saying, hey, we want to do, you know, an esports tournament, we want to have you at our convention. And so we did, you know, I had some personal connections within the community, and it kind of all grew into something like much bigger than I had anticipated. And then, of course, throughout the pandemic with our tournaments and our leagues that we were running, it kind of got to the point where it was almost too much to handle, where we went Canada-wide. We're now Canada's largest and most active esports association and league. And it's been really great, but yeah, it's been a long, I feel like it's been a long journey. It's only been like 3 years, but yeah, I feel like I've been here forever. I've been like active doing events and helping out and stuff for the last like seven, eight years. So it's been a lot.
It has. No, but that stuff's great. And I love hearing all this, because I like hearing the background of how everybody came about and everything, and kind of the stories. I love listening to stories about how people got to where they are. And I know we kind of mentioned this before we started recording, but it just, I hope that soon we can get some more things in person, because I've never, since I've been in esports, which has been a lot less time, it's only been about a year and a half, almost 2 years, I haven't been to anything in person. I've never been able to meet anybody in person, haven't been to any LAN events, haven't been to any conventions, and I want to see that stuff. Are you hoping that maybe we'll be able to get some LAN and things like that in the future?
Well, we had plans. Like, I remember we were approached by a few people right before the pandemic hit. Red River Exhibition in Winnipeg was like a really big event, and they had offered us a really great deal to be there for like the full 10 days that they were in operation. And we had everything sorted out pretty much. We were in the final planning stages, and then like March or April came by and everything got shut down, and then they couldn't even do their event. And then we were like, okay, well, we'll bank on Comic-Con because we had a partnership with Comic-Con, and then that didn't work out. And then we wanted to do like live events. We had a live event actually planned for this March. And given the current way things are going, I know like restrictions here in Manitoba are like, I think on the 15th, they're getting rid of like all mandates, including mask mandates. And we were supposed to have the event that like on that weekend prior. We just didn't want to do it. It's too much of a risk. And so now we've booked another venue for June, and that's what we're aiming towards. And June is a better timeline right now for us. So fingers crossed we're able to get back to do live events, but there's nothing that compares to it. Like, you can go to a sporting event or, you know, something else, and like that's cool. But to be able to be a part of like an esports event and or convention is like something really unique that I don't think a lot of people understand, like, what the feeling is or how, like, they can't really process it until it's over.
That makes sense. And I haven't even been able to experience it. So I'm super, like, I want that so badly. Plus the summer, you know, it's nice out, play some video games. What was your favorite part about that? Like, doing conventions and everything?
I mean, one, I really like meeting new people. I like to have conversations. I'm very much an introvert, but when it comes to things like esports that I'm super passionate about, I really love just meeting new people and getting to know like where they're from, what kind of games they like, what they're interested in, how we can help. It's a lot of community building. I've had the privilege of being able to be a part of multiple conventions, we even ran our own event, the Manitoba Esports Expo in 2019 prior to the pandemic, and I got to meet a lot of great people there from different communities that I never really like dip my foot into. Like, I was not, I never really got into playing games like Overwatch. I knew a few players from like the CSGO scene, a few players from Smash Bros, Super Smash, and like that was really fun, but I never really like got to know people. I was just kind of like, I just play League and I just sit in like my corner and like try and run tournaments and whatever. But it was just really nice to get to meet new people, and the atmosphere at those type of events is just like, it's on a different level than just being at like a regular, you know, sporting game or regular convention. I mean, it just, there's so much heart, there's so much passion, and just people who share the same interests of you. They all love esports and gaming, and it's just a really great like community environment. You feel safe, you don't feel like uncomfortable. Everyone is kind of, they like the same things as you, so it's really really unique, and it's always been a great experience. But of course, like, you can't really process it or like, wow, that really happened, until it's over. Like, I'm still reminiscing over like some of the events that we've done because of how great they were at the time, but like, I couldn't really like maybe appreciate it as much until it was over. I was like, man, that was super fun. I got to meet so many great people. So it's definitely, I don't want to say it's life-changing, but I think since the pandemic and since so many more people have now gotten involved in the esports community or tried to find other avenues through esports, for them to be able to be a part of an esports event that is up and coming on our end, it's going to change lives. It's going to make them want to be a part of it more. I think people are so eager to get back to normal, and there isn't really any like esports exclusive event that you can think of that has happened in Canada, other than when you think about like a major tournament, but nothing for like the public, unless it's attached to say like another another event like Comic-Con. But when it's an event that stands alone, it's, I don't know, it 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 it's a different vibe. It's a different feeling. It's like, it's, that's your event. It's just, it's really exciting. And I've gotten more than enough emails asking about the live event. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so excited too. And I think, see this, so it's this part that's so exciting to me is I'm so ready to go and experience all these things. And like, you're just getting me hyped just thinking about it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just want to get out there and see my team playing and like meet everybody and do all that stuff, because very similar to like what you said is I myself too am more of an introvert, but when it comes to gaming and esports, I love connecting with people. And I think mm-hmm. exactly what you said is it's such a safe place for us because we're all doing the same thing. We all have the same passion. And that's like a really amazing thing that I've only been able to experience online. So I think when we get back to in person, that's going to be, for me, it'll be life changing. I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for. And then for you to get back to doing that and meeting everybody as well, I think that's super exciting. And you said the main games you play some Valorant, I know, and you also play League. Are those the two main games you would say?
Yeah, like I used to play a lot of Counter-Strike. I used to do like a little bit of competitive Counter-Strike. I did a lot more competitive League of Legends. I played for the U of M collegiate team. I played in, I don't know, like so many different baseline tournaments, which were like a local LAN group that were running tournaments of back-to-back champions for a league, which was
nice.
Super hype.
Nice, let's go.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was a little bit intimidating because I'm a girl.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But for the most part, it was, like League of Legends has been like the main game that I've been playing. I played a lot of CSGO, but I kind of like transitioned over to doing more ESCA or like Face It. And then as Valorant came out, I didn't really, I mean, I don't have a lot of time to play games anyway. Like I'm really busy, but mm-hmm. when I do play, like I've been gearing more towards Valorant recently because one, it's really popular, especially with our community. It's our most popular game right now. And I also don't really have like the best computer. Like I haven't upgraded my computer in almost 10 years.
Oh.
So like I don't have, I mean, other than like a couple of small things like the case or the monitor or whatever, but like I've prioritized other things, like putting more investments into esports events and, you know, buying myself a Nintendo Switch because I really wanted to play Zelda or yeah. something like
yeah.
other than that, like I just haven't been able to play other games. I've never owned like an Xbox or a PlayStation in my life. I've played them at other people's homes, but it was something that like my parents weren't really too fond of. So they're like, at least with Nintendo, like a Nintendo Switch or something, like at least that's like more, I guess, age appropriate. And I have a lot of like younger cousins and nieces and nephews that like come over and play. So it was definitely a better route to go that way. But I have, like, I've played, like, I've dipped into Rocket League and other games too. But yeah, no, it's just, it's more specifically Valorant and League of Legends for the most part.
And then do you see, I know it's probably not a completely fair comparison because they are two different games, but between CS and Valorant, are there certain things where if you played CS like you did, you can kind of play Valorant and you kind of already know the gist of it in a sense?
I wouldn't say it's hard to compare because one with CSGO, like obviously it's been around for a long time and they haven't really made a lot of changes to the game other than like, I guess you get like some new skins and like they had like these agent upgrades where you could play like as a woman on the CT side, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course like they made some map changes. I believe they also added a new map. I haven't touched CSGO in a long, long time because Valorant is just way more popular. And I also, CSGO is one of those games that like I prefer to play with other people, just cause it's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's hard to explain because while CSGO is like really fun and all of that, I really like the concept of Valorant being not necessarily like more age appropriate, but it's less violent, even though it's a FPS.
Yeah.
The abilities that they add into the game with the different agents, I think is also really unique. And that's what makes Valorant kind of like cool. It's kind of like a League of Legends concept where every character has different abilities and you can nerf them or, you know, if they're too strong, or you can buff them if they're, you know, if they were too weak. And I like that they're constantly making changes within the game other than like when you look at like CSGO, that hasn't really had a change. Like there's, it's pretty balanced for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to compare the two. I think Valorant, in terms of the amount of abilities and things, there's a lot more to learn, but I think it's easier to maybe like get kills, I guess. In Valorant, it's more like it doesn't require, I'm not saying it doesn't require it like a lot of skill, but it requires a different kind of skill that makes it much easier and more like user friendly, whereas CSGO is very like, if your aim sucks, fine, like you're done, like you can't.
Yeah, my aim sucks on PC. I'm from console, so I'm used to a controller. I grew up playing Call of Duty, that was like my main game. I tried playing Valorant a couple of times and I am so lost. I don't know how to do anything. It's so weird to me. Use my mouse and keyboard.
It takes time to like get into the different abilities and agents.
Yeah.
But I like that concept that like you can pick a different agent every game and have different abilities and have a different role on the team. And I like that. I like that concept rather than just playing a very linear, like this is what it is. Doesn't matter. The only thing that changes is maybe the map.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or maybe the gun that you hold. So I mean, again, I'm more of like the user friendly type thing. And also it also helps that like Valorant is so big right now, and with the pandemic and how everything shaped up, a lot of CSGO majors and like everything kind of got shut down, especially in NA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that really brought the you know, the rise of Valorant throughout that time, that just made it so popular. We're kind of like wiped out a lot of some of the pro CSGO players who went to Valorant because there was no support coming in from like the CSGO side. So I think that also played a role in like how I felt about it too, that it was more popular. Like it was just something that I had to pay attention to. We were actually, I think, one of the first tournament organizers that ran a Valorant tournament, like the second that it came out on like for everyone.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't in beta anymore. Like we ran a mm-hmm. tournament, I think it came out in May, and we ran a tournament in June. Like was that quick. So yeah, it was it's a really fun game, but I also play with like people I know too. Like I don't mind playing by myself, but
playing with people you know is more fun with those games too. Like in Rocket League, I can queue by myself. It doesn't really matter. But when you're playing a game where there's five people, different abilities, and it's, you know, it's a pretty complex game in that sense, you know, with all the abilities and everything. It's a very team-oriented game. And I think playing out with some friends is a lot of fun. And I also think that I agree with what you're saying, Hadza. It's like vibrant. It's very fun to look at. You know, everything's colorful. And also, you are right, because it's not violent. You know, Call of Duty is so realistic, but this is not realistic in that sense. You know, so like kids can play. Same with Fortnite, right? When Fortnite blew up, you're shooting everybody, but it's not, it's like a cartoon vibe to it versus like a realistic violence vibe, in my opinion. So I think that's also why it probably is good for the younger generation and stuff. And it's a fun game to watch. I'm learning about it. It's a lot to take in. So I'm trying to like learn how everything works and whatnot, and watching some pro level stuff. And I mean, when you watch the pros, you're like, whoa, that looks easy. And then you try it yourself and it's like, okay, it's not that easy to do. But
if you're not really into like FPS games, I think Valorant would be maybe one of the easier ones to get involved in, because it's not like, I'm not saying that there's not a high skill gap, but like it's easier, it's more user friendly to get like to start off in. Whereas when you look at games like CSGO, if you're not playing on like Face It, you're dealing with hackers or people who are trolling like half the time, and it's really not fun. Whereas like Valorant at least incentivizes you to like want to play. They have battle passes, they have agent contracts that like you work toward to like getting like a skin or getting like a you know, a new spray in the game. And I like that. It incentivizes the player to want to play even if they're like a new player, and I like that. Even to unlock characters, and that's what's so important about it. Whereas like CSGO is very like cut and dry. This is what it is. If you're bad, too bad. Like there's no like incentive to play.
Yeah.
At least based on how my experience was with CSGO, and that was one of the first games I played, and I got really into it because I was really good at it. I used to be MGE, so, or Master Guardian Elite. So like I played a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
I have like thousands of hours on the game, and it's super fun, but again, like, Valorant has just taken over that space, and it's much easier for, like I said, a younger audience to get involved. We have a lot of like high school kids that come and play in the league, and we've had like the other day I played with like a 12-year-old kid who was like crushing it. He's like I came from Fortnite. I was like, oh
yeah,
okay.
They're just, so young kids are cracked at the game.
It's kind of nutty, like, how many kids are like really, really good at Valorant. But also, it's user friendly. It's a friendlier game for parents to maybe like get behind, rather than like a CS:GO or a Call of Duty that, unfortunately, show a little bit too much graphic content that may be not suitable for those younger audiences.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess on that topic, just about, you know, high school kids and kind of scholastic, if you will, kind of that aspect of esports and stuff. Do you think that working with high schools and even, you know, more post-secondary institutions, do you think that's kind of a big part about fostering that growth of the next generation of esports enthusiasts?
Well, yeah, like, I mean, if you look at it the last few years, especially in like pro esports, you've seen some of those veterans that have been here for a long time kind of being like shut out, or kind of being like shown up by some of these younger kids coming in from other games or just from like high school. Especially when you look at like games like Valorant, that's just up and coming, or even in League of Legends, like there's so many people you look at like in LCS, I'm just like, I don't even know these kids, like they're brand new, like they came out of nowhere and they're so good. But even just like in general, there's so many more younger kids getting involved, and they're just really, really good. And we should be supporting high school programs and leagues. We should be supporting more post-secondary institutions that are trying their best to not only, have like a structured system in place, but also be able to allow them to build, maybe like a gaming lounge or a place for them to train. Like a lot of these schools that are competing that are pretty good, they don't have any kind of financial support backing them. And if they do, it's usually outside support that's approved, or an investor, someone that's involved with the school that's providing them with, say, like a facility or whatever. They're getting a lot of money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically private universities or colleges, when you look at the States, Maryville, Columbia, RMU. Like there's a lot of different schools that are like heavily invested in there. But then when you look at, you know, some other schools that don't really have that much support, you're still getting raw talent coming out of there that's incredibly good, but they're not being given the same opportunities as some other schools,
right? Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think it's important to continue supporting that, and to having like a national committee or something would be ideal. Not just looking at the States, but also looking at Canada. Like there's not too many schools I can think of in Canada that offer proper esports programs and offer scholarship opportunities and like have a training grounds or anything for their students.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of raw talent coming out of different universities and colleges, but there's not a lot of like structured play. It's just a bunch of, you know, regular students trying to set it up, just like how I did with my partner Lariz and my other partner Alex. We were the ones running it, and we were students. The school didn't like care. And
yeah.
So the schools need to start caring, because it's a way for them to also like get recognized and to have more kids come to their school. And like, it's a great, there's so many opportunities there, and I just don't think they're taking advantage of it because they don't think it's viable.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that esports is not recognized federally, unlike the States, where the federal government has acknowledged that esports is a legitimate industry, and that's why you see all of the investments, whether it's within schools or esports organizations, talent, whatever you're looking at, all of that is in the States. Or look at Europe, look at Asia, right? There's really little to no infrastructure built in Canada, no matter what people tell you. There's a few outliers, But for the most part, all of that talent, all of those resources, all of that revenue,
mm-hmm,
is all in the States.
Yeah, and see, that's what I've noticed as well. But I mean, that's why speaking with people like yourself helps me understand it more as to like why here in Canada we don't have that. Because I wasn't even aware that is the reason, is because it's not federally recognized here. And I also think that schools, if they would realize that esports is legitimate and everything, and that some of these kids can turn this into an actual career, and that it's not, you know, that older saying in a sense where it's like they're just sitting there playing video games, like that's like we don't care about what that is. It's like gaming and video games is a very healthy outlet, and I think it's great that if they would encourage that and let people play together and have some infrastructure, that I think some really cool things would come out of it. And hopefully they will. We got to keep working towards that, and it would be great if they did. I mean, could you imagine how fun that would be if all of a sudden, I don't even know how long that would take. Probably take a while, but
I agree.
Down the line, all of a sudden, there's clubs, there's support.
I mean,
everything.
If you look at it from like a different perspective, like a grassroots perspective, like for example, there's a Manitoba High School Esports Association, and all of that, all those schools are all like involved because the teachers are the ones taking the students obviously are interested, but the teachers are the ones taking the initiative and setting all of that up. Now, ultimately, when you look at sports at a provincial or at a federal level, you're looking at different school divisions or like an association of like all the schools, whether it's at, I believe it's at, if you look at from like a provincial level, I'm sure the province or like the government has some sort of say into how the sports, regular sports like, you know, soccer or volleyball or football or whatever are set up. That's usually done by someone or some kind of department for education or for sport. That's kind of done like that. I don't think it's done by a third party. If it is, then like that's fine, but there should be something just like how they run it like that. There should be the same thing for esports, because right now with the Manitoba High School Esports Association, it's all being run by teachers who are volunteering their time after school trying to sort things out. And while that is great, and we see a lot of teachers trying to push for this, there's not enough support throughout different levels of government, and also higher up, like in the superintendent's office, and even some of the principals of the school, IT departments not wanting to have games be downloaded on their systems because they claim it'll cause viruses, which is obviously not true.
Ridiculous, but I agree. They do think that.
But they just haven't been given the proper information. And so you see so many teachers and students trying to push for this, and there's just little to no movement there. But at least they're trying to do something. And it's like through a grassroots perspective. They're just really passionate about it, and they're trying to push it forward and trying to get it more recognized. There are more schools involved right now through MHSCA than there are with like any, like, I mean, I can't speak for the other provinces and what they're doing, but out of anyone else trying to run something in the province for middle schools or high schools or whatever, they're probably one of the largest, because they have incorporated, I think, almost every school division within Winnipeg to be involved, or at least to have one school from like almost each division involved in their high school tournaments. I believe they do Rocket League, or I know they do Rocket League. I don't know if they do Valor. I'm not too sure about that. They do Super Smash Bros. And I know they do League of Legends. So they're already pretty heavily, like, there's a lot of kids involved. They're heavily involved. And I love that.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
There just needs to be more support. There's not enough support there. There's not enough funding. I mean, they're all like, there's people putting out money from their school budget in, you know, into it, or even their own money, to keep it sustainable. So there definitely needs to be more support in terms of that, and also in terms of like an educational level, like actually using esports or gaming within the classroom for educational purposes. So there's a lot more that can be done, but again, if it's recognized provincially or federally, it's much easier for you know, nonprofits such as myself, or other groups, maybe even within the schools, to apply for grants, to get more funding. So yeah, there's a lot more that they could do.
Yep, I agree 100%. And now kind of going back to what you said, being like one of the only females who is playing on some of these teams, do you think that esports and gaming is becoming more accessible to women? And do you think there's still a bit of a barrier for females in the space?
It's kind of hard to discuss without, again, like, I'm biased, but like it's hard because I mean, I've always kind of grown up with, like, video games, and I was really heavily into sports when a lot of the girls that I went to school with were very much into, like, you know, more girly stuff, I guess. Like, I wanted to play with dolls and stuff, and they thought that girls who play sports are kind of, like, obviously we've evolved very heavily from that time.
Mm-hmm,
it's, like,
mm-hmm.
like, like 15, 20 years ago. But regardless, that kind of, I was always involved with, like, I always played sport, like soccer, with the guys outside. Like, that was just who I was. I played video games when I came home. My brother was a huge influence on me. I had a lot of male cousins that just wanted to play video games all the time. Like, they wanted to build Lego. Girls don't play with Lego. Like, you know, they wanted to play they wanted to play football. They wanted to watch football. I was like, yeah, let's go. I got so heavily involved with football. I actually wanted to try out for the football team in high school, and they wouldn't let me
because
I was
really
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were like, no.
So I was like, yeah, the girls don't play football. That's what they told me. So,
that's so lame.
Yeah. I would have been really good on their team, by the way.
What position would you have been?
Well, I really wanted to be kicker because I played, I have played soccer my entire life. I was a goalie. I played for the provincial team for Manitoba. I did, like, training out in Germany and in the States and everything. So I was involved in a lot of, like, pretty big teams.
Wow.
I was scouted multiple times, so I thought that because of my training as a goalie and how well I could kick the ball, that I thought I'd be a really good kicker. And they said,
they wouldn't let you be a kicker? Come on.
No.
They see all the credentials and stuff, and you're like, look what I've done. Let me try. Like, why don't they just let you try even? You know what I mean? Like, just go out there and prove yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So that was not a good time. But regardless, I think it was just really intimidating. I came from that space where I was comfortable being around guys. I didn't really care. At the time when I went to the Comic-Con at RBC Convention Center in Winnipeg, I think it was in 2015, around that time, I was the only girl that was competing there. That was a higher rank than, like, anyone, like, then not than anyone else, but, like, I was the highest ranked female playing there.
Yeah.
And one of the higher ranked players on my team at the time. And I was totally comfortable being there. I was like, this is really great or whatever. And then when I started playing for the U of M team, like, I saw that there was definitely, like, I was accepted, partially because I was running the club. But there was a lot of, like, you don't know what you're doing. You're a girl. You're playing this role because you're a girl. Like, you're only playing girl, like, characters. You're only doing this. So there was a lot of, like, comments like that made. Thankfully, with, like, League of Legends, there was no, like, you could just type and people just didn't know, like, if you were a girl or a guy in the game, so it was fine. But there was a lot of misogyny and, like, sexism that, like, I had to deal with once I started putting myself out there, that I was, like, a gamer, and that I was, like, a gamer that was playing on a team for a school, or I was playing even at, like, at tournaments, like, at live tournaments when I went to local LANs. Always comments made about me.
Do you think
even just, like, then working on it in esports, because I think that, like, I dealt with a lot of sexism and misogyny. I know my partner Lariz dealt with it a lot, but she also stayed more behind the scenes, and I was sort of, like, the spokesperson. And there was a lot of people who told me, like, you don't know what you're doing, you have no experience or whatever. And I remember I gave someone the helm, or it wasn't really mine to, like, whatever. And they were like, we can do it better than you. And they completely botched, like, everything. And they were like, we want Mel back because she knows what she's doing. So it was kind of funny in that sense. That I was like, oh, okay, so you actually want me here because I know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
So over time, of course, like, I have dealt with a lot of struggles in my life in terms of sexism. I still deal with it. I don't speak in games when I go into Valorant games, because the second you say that you're a girl, you get automatically harassed. Like, I have not been in a game where I have played, where I have spoken, that I have not gotten harassed. And it really sucks, but it happens all the time, whether you're a streamer, whether you're somebody who works in esports. I think to an extent, some of those people get kind of a break, especially if they're doing really well. But even then, I can't speak for anybody who's, like, in a CEO position, say, of, like, FlyQuest, Evil Geniuses. Like, there are so many great women out there who are in esports. I don't know how much they deal with that when they're in that space, because obviously if you're in that space and there's accusations and stuff, it's usually like brought up right away, because it's like it's more of like a corporate space. But when you're working more on like a grassroots level and you're kind of just more of community based, it's tough. It's really tough. I have just been really lucky that I've also surrounded myself though with like really great people who have been supportive of me. There's obviously been a few that have not. But my experience is different than others, right? There was a girl who felt that she needed to hide her identity for the time that she was playing in the league with a team that she knew. She never revealed her identity because she felt uncomfortable that they were going to make fun of her, or that they had made, and then when they finally heard her voice, like they had made comments about like she was a girl, she was playing only girl champions, like she was bad, she was this, she was that, and then they started to like also make comments about her, like not necessarily her, I guess her appearance to an extent too, and she was like, I didn't want to say anything. But when after I had a conversation with her, I was like, you know, like I'm in here too. And she didn't, she felt more comfortable, I guess, knowing that there were other girls involved in the scene. Mm-hmm. But again, you should never make women feel uncomfortable being here. And I feel like that plays a role today. I mean, every time I'm on Twitter and I see girls complaining that they get harassed in game for Valorant or another game like CSGO, Call of Duty, it's just sad. It's 2022 and we still have to deal with that. Like it's just so depressing to hear.
Yeah.
And it's not a good look, because it turns a lot of women away, not only from wanting to pursue a career in esports, whether they want to be a caster or an admin or even a player, that they have to resort to the type of harassment and misogyny that they deal with. Is just like, it's unacceptable. It turns women away. And it the same thing when you look at like STEM, careers as well. Like, not a lot of women go into STEM. Why? How do they feel about it, right? Like, mm-hmm. they feel intimidated. They don't feel maybe safe. They don't feel welcomed. There's not enough women involved, so they don't feel like, you know, they just don't feel comfortable. And that needs to change.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to have more women in the space. And I think that having, do you think that having you in the leadership role gives you like a unique perspective to some of these things, since you've dealt with all of this and you kind of know a bit more about how to make it more accessible for everybody?
I'd say yes, but based on like my experience, I would never want another woman to be in my shoes and to go through the journey that I went through. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't talk about it ever, but like I was bullied, I was harassed like so much to the point where I was like depressed, I was like suicidal, I was bullied my entire life for, you know, being involved with sports or music, or I was the fact that I like you know, other personal things, like my first language was German, right? Like that's how I grew up. Like I only spoke German at home, and I was in a German bilingual class, and there were kids who made fun of me for that. And again, like every kid I'm sure has gone through some kind of like bullying type of story, but to be in esports with a very heavily male dominated in this like male dominated kind of like community environment, I didn't have a problem with it because I always grew up around guys and it was fine. But the amount of I don't like to use the word abuse, but in a sense, like the amount of like things that were said to me and stuff that was trying to like that people were trying to undermine me, all of that, like I would never want any other girl to go through this. And I think I went through it and I got through it on the other side, and like I'm still here, but like I was really depressed for a long time. I would cry at night by the way people treated me.
Mm-hmm.
People would try to undermine me all the time. And it was really hard, but like I still managed to come out on the other side. But I would never want anybody, like I already said, mm-hmm. never want somebody else to go through what I have gone through in terms of esports. And that shouldn't be anyone's experience, whether you're a minority or whether you're, you know, a woman in the space. Like you should never go through what I went through. I don't wish that upon anyone. I just wish that the culture would change around it and just be more accepting. I think society has done a pretty good job of it, of just being more accepting of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be the given. That shouldn't be something that we should be doing now. Like, that should have been done, like, years ago. And it's still happening. I mean,
yeah,
there's still stuff that's happening that's wrong and inappropriate and makes women not want to speak out, not want to, you know, go to events, not want to participate, not want to be involved in the space. I think I've tried my best to be a good role model to young women. I've had a lot of young girls come up to me when I spoke at their schools or whatever. They thought that it was like the coolest thing that I was involved with.
Yeah,
esports. But it's, I would never want anybody else to go through this. And I think, at least like my journey to here, I hope it's easier for other women who are interested in being a player or being interested in running tournaments and events to not go through what I did. But it has made me the person I am today, and I'm so grateful that I went through all of that, like, not great time in my life where it was like really bad. But it's made me so much better. It's made me so more aware, and it also makes me like more stronger now that I'm just not going to take like crap from anybody. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So it's definitely rewarding, but I wouldn't want to do it again.
Yeah. That makes sense. You did it once and now you're paving the path for everybody else to come. And I think that's very brave and that's very noble of you to go through that. And I'm hoping, I agree. It's 2022. Like I don't understand why it's still a thing. And I just wish that everybody would just grow up essentially. You know what I mean? And just be nice. It's not hard to do. So hopefully we can continue with that and building a safe space where everybody feels welcomed, because at the end of the day, we all love esports. We love gaming. And I think that esports and gaming are the things where we can all come together and play. So hopefully we can kind of keep changing that. And you've been doing a good job with it. And you ready to talk about Eastern Canadian esports and how...
Oh boy.
How they, okay.
Oh boy.
Let me preference this for a second. In my eyes, I always thought that Eastern Esports has it together. And I made that comment before we started recording and you were like, that might not be the case. So can we go into that about how things might sound a certain way, but it might not be the reality?
Yeah. So there's been like a few instances, where it's like what people post on social media saying that it's like, this is Canada's largest thing, this is like never happened in Canada before, like we're making huge strides in like Canadian sports. It's not like that. Like, it's so, I don't want to say manipulative,
it kind of is though.
It is like it's false advertising. There's been a few instances, like for example, I'll try my best not to name names because it's just really frustrating.
Yes,
but
fair.
There was like, there was a group actually, this is more considered Western, but like kind of Eastern. So there was a group in Vancouver who hired me on to do some consulting and to work with like basically the entire province's school board to involve them in esports tournaments. And we were running a trial tournament to see if it would work. And then based on that, we would be commissioned to do it for like the entire province and then other provinces later on. And it was really great experience. We ran a trial tournament. It was really great. And a company from the US kind of came in surprisingly. And because there's no regulation for esports in Canada, they kind of got to come in and threatened to take over the company. And they had like the company that I worked for, like the startup.
Yeah,
And it was so bad because there were people covering for this like big multi-million dollar company who came in from the States that one has not been successful. I will say that they were like cold calling schools and like fear mongering teachers into signing contracts within their schools and like that were not like legitimate. Like I had tons of calls last February of like teachers freaking out and asking me what this was, and they were like unsure and they were like, who are these people? We'd rather go with people we know, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who had written articles about it, journalists who had written articles who said like, this group acquired, you know, this big, large corporation, like, acquired this startup in BC. And I'm like, that's not what happened. You threatened legal action, and you didn't provide that in there. And you also, like, it was bad because, one, I lost my job. This other girl on the team lost her job without giving any notice. And the other two individuals on there were either threatened with legal action, or they could join this big multi-million dollar corporation to be their liaisons for the country. And I was like, so these guys are threatening you off of zero. Like, they couldn't, the contract was already, like, signed and everything.
Yeah.
But they were threatened with, like, a huge million-dollar lawsuit or something.
That's crazy.
And that was never disclosed to the public. And I knew it because I lost my job.
Yeah, and you're like, I was in this.
I was their head esports consultant. I was their manager. I did everything for esports. I ran all of the programs for the kids. I was involved with this. I brought in even people from my own team from Manitoba Esports to come and help. To get paid to do this work. I was involved heavily with, like, the school, the president of, like, the group that was running it all, everything. And it was just, like, so gross. Like, yeah. It was just, it was a terrible experience. And I really felt bad, but I also, like, I was like, this is not how it should be run. And no, I made it very clear to every other group, like, all the teachers who had called me who were freaking out that they were getting cold calls. And this was across Canada. This also happened with one of my partners, the groups we work with, Uniting Gamers and Ontario Esports League. This was happening all over the GTA in Toronto. And it was like, teachers were freaking out over the phone. Like, it was so bad. And I was just like, that's not what happened. And you didn't disclose that to the public. And the public thinks that it was just like they just acquired the company when really they threatened them and kicked out all their members and, like, had, like, tried to resume what they were trying to do. And when they were trying to resume the tournaments, it all went to, like,
nothing. Yeah, that's good to say.
It literally, like, nothing was run right. Nobody was communicating. The teachers, the parents, the students, everyone complained. It was so bad, poorly organized, everything. And it didn't matter because they had so much more money and they kicked out the people who actually cared. They were passionate. They cared.
Yes.
And it's happened more than once. And yeah, so it's not all, like, I don't believe anything that comes out when it comes to, like, the way that the media kind of, like, frames it, because that's not what happened. I know. I was involved. And for them to say that it wasn't the case, and this was also, like, all over, like, in the school news and everything else, like, and it was just like, that's not true. Like, so
frustrating. I think the thing that I didn't understand before my team and stuff started competing is that just because there's money involved and these companies might have big sponsors doesn't mean that it's going to be run properly at all. I didn't get that. I was like, no, there's no way. I mean, if they have money, surely they'll get the, you know, it'll be run properly. And that was not the case with one of the leagues that we were in. And it was probably, like, one of our worst experiences. And we were so excited for it because it was a Canadian thing. There was some money involved. There had some big casters from RLCS in it. But the way that it was run was like, these people have never even looked at how Rocket League is run. We weren't allowed to have subs. We weren't allowed to switch out any players. The website didn't even work. I had to contact them multiple times to say, you don't even have our right teammates in there. There was no support. We weren't allowed to stream anything. It was probably one of the worst experiences that we had, and it was supposed to be, on the surface, one of the best. You know what I mean? Like, they had some money, sponsors were like, this is sweet, and it wasn't, because they didn't know how to run a single thing. And I feel like that probably happens more than people know.
Yeah. Well, I will say that, like, if you look at a few of examples, the gaming stadium, if you look at Northern Arena, they may have big sponsors behind them. Some are legitimate, some are not. I've heard far too many stories of employees not being paid fairly or being treated fairly, or their ideas not being heard at those types of venues. that work there. There's a lot of infrastructure that may be built there, but how they utilize it, or how, say, for example, the cup, the tournament that you played in, it doesn't matter whose name is on it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how much money is slapped on it. You need to have people who know how to run it be behind it. And you can't just, like, I feel like a lot of people don't understand all of the channels that, or all of the things that you need to do in order for a tournament to be run. People kind of forget that. And we've had struggles with that too. People are impatient with us, with CECS. People don't understand that there's a lot of, like, there's legal stuff that we have to deal with. We have to deal with game licenses. We have to deal with broadcast.
Yeah.
Like, there's limitations to what we can and cannot do or say or run or have playing or anything on our broadcast. We have to make sure that the casters that come in are, like, properly trained. They know what they're doing. They can't say certain things. We have to monitor that. We have admins. We have people making graphics. Like, there's so many things that play into it. Never mind, like, learning a tournament platform. Never mind handling finances. Never mind finding sponsorships. Like, there's so many things that I just don't think people understand how much work goes into it. Like, they just kind of assume that you just set up like a tournament platform, right? Like, you Smash GG, whatever.
Yeah.
You just put it in there and then you start. Like, no. If you want it streamed, if you want sponsors, whatever it is, it doesn't even matter. Like, we could, like, right now we've been running free tournaments, which is great. But, like, you know how hard it is to get sponsorships? We can't just, like, call up and say, hey, can you give us money? Because, one, we're in a pandemic, and two, like, it doesn't matter how much money you throw at something, there are also legalities around that. You can only have, like, a certain amount of money that you can actually give. And even in that, you shouldn't even be giving money because it's for tax purposes. You should be using gift cards. You should be using physical prizes. You can't give out cash without understanding that you're going to have to disclose all of that to the CRA, and you're going to get dinged for taxes on it. I've seen it time and time again by esports groups that don't understand this. They have people coming in who are not trained professionals in casting, in admin, in anything, and it doesn't allow us to progress in esports. It's a terrible look.
Yeah,
I don't care how big of a company you are. That's why I was not a big fan when I heard things like Memory Express getting involved, or TELUS, or any of those MSI Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them getting involved because they normally don't really know what they're doing. And if they do, they should be working with local community groups or associations that actually have people behind them that know what they're doing.
Exactly.
And they just don't do that. They only care about profits and making money, and ultimately that's why we went the route of the nonprofit, because we wanted to help kids, we wanted to help people, we wanted to bring awareness. And it, at least in my case, it has never been about the money. We've never had money. I've put out $10,000 of my own money in the past few years on esports alone to keep things sustainable, and I've never seen any type of return in that other than community growth and a lot of love and support by people. And that's what it should be about. Ultimately, I don't use your own money to build something up. Like, I'm not recommending that. Of course, where I was at the time, it was a startup. Of course, it's different. But I just don't like that there are companies out there trying to make a profit and also not understanding that if you don't get it right, people aren't going to come back no matter how much money you slap on it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, that's the exact point I was going to say.
There's, like I said, it's not easy running tournaments. I've done it for so long now. I've done sponsorship stuff. It's not easy to get sponsorship stuff, especially with, given the fact, like I said before, that esports is not federally recognized. We can barely support ourselves with the grant programs that we have, because a lot of grant programs, A, have been shut down. B, are not, even though we do, put an application in, they can never recognize what is esports, where does esports fit in. Never mind the casters, we have to pay for labor, we have to pay for venues, we have to pay for equipment, we have to pay for prizes. Like, there's so many things that go into it, and I just don't I don't like when these big companies kind of come in and are like, here's $15,000, just go crazy. I'm like, but you need to have a structure.
Yeah, they just, you can't just, oh, it gets me going.
So there's a lot of aspect that's why I prefer the way that we've gone with the nonprofit. But in another way, it's like, why didn't that company maybe reach out to us so we could do all of the grunt work like we've been doing this whole time, and you just provide the prize pool and we can like push it out there? And I think if those kind of partnerships happen more often, I think tournaments could be run a lot better. But they're just not, mm-hmm. right? They mm-hmm. want to do it themselves and think that they can do it themselves. And like, but you still need to have the right people there that can actually run like the broadcast properly. And that's why, or admin, like adminning is a huge job, right?
Yeah.
So that's why when you look at some of these like bigger groups or like stadiums or whatever, they try and run like they have a lot of money, great, but like their broadcast is mediocre. They don't have good talent. They don't have good admins. They don't have a good structure.
Exactly.
But then when you look at like what we're doing here at CCS, like our broadcast is clean. Like we've got some of the best people. We have great graphics. We've got commercials running. We've got admins that at least kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah.
we've got you know, great casters that have, we have also like a great internship program where we're bringing in like talent from BCIT to CMU, Med Schools of Canada, all over the place, that are coming in and they're like, you know, they're learning and they're getting better, and it's like, it's just so great that they're getting involved in this space. And there just needs to be, like I said, there needs to be more opportunity or more collaboration between these big companies that want to run these tournaments and also people who actually know what they're doing, who can provide the supporting assistance there. And that's why like a lot of our events that, at least in my that we've done, like has been with like, you know, Comic-Con, where like they provide the venue but we provide the entertainment type deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those partnerships, I think I would love to work with these groups, like the one that you participated in that was not that great. I think if we would have come in there, like it probably would have been
so much better. So much better. Yeah, just from what I've seen, it's like, because in CCS, like not the one that just happened last weekend, because our roster was a mess. We're figuring that out right now anyway, so we weren't in that one. But the one prior to that, I was helping behind the scenes with some stuff, just being on the mm-hmm. desk and whatnot. But when you see it from behind, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of work that goes into it. And it was very well organized. Everybody knew what was going on. So you guys do a really good job. And I'll say which thing it was. You don't need to agree with me if this one was the one that sucked, but I'll say it because I've already bashed them before. I don't like saying that word, but essentially it was TELUS Esports Series, the one that we were in, that sucked. Horrible. But if you guys would have been there to run the actual thing and they provided some of the money and maybe some of the viewership or whatever the case was, I think it would have been a lot better, because now if they ever put something else on again, I'm going to be like, don't enter that. I'll tell everybody I know, don't go into that one. It's not going to be good because of what they did before. They just put a bunch of money into it and didn't run it properly at all. It was not good whatsoever. And I hope that they learn from that, but they probably won't because they're rich and they don't really care. They just made some money, whatever. I think the problem is too, is it's like they just see esports as like this buzzword, you know, as this thing going on right now, and don't realize the time and the effort that people like yourself have been putting in for years. And they just come in with the money and are like, sweet, we're in esports now. And
yeah,
then they mess it up.
Well, it's hard for us to continue to stay sustainable.
Yeah.
Especially given like the current climate. Like I'm trying really hard to like get sponsorships right now, but it's really tough because a lot of people are like, one, it's not federally recognized. Two, we don't really have money to throw around, which you do. You're just choosing not to give it away.
Yep.
It's three, they don't think it's really like legitimate, like there's not really much value in it when there is. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are right now if we just kind of like kept it to be this local little indie company that kind of just ran tournaments within Winnipeg. Like that wouldn't like
need to grow a bit. Yes.
I mean, that was the reason why we changed the name. You know, we invited more people in because there were other, you know, groups, other like smaller leagues, OESL, SAS, Saskatchewan League, that shut down a couple of years ago. You know, even some other nonprofits, you know, Vancouver Esports, Alberta Esports, all these other like associations, like they just didn't really want to get involved in that space, which is what we were doing. And I had a lot of demand. There was so much demand. I got a lot of emails from people across Canada that were like, we want to participate in your leagues,
mm-hmm.
because we don't feel heard in our community. We don't feel heard by the associations or by the groups running things here. They have different priorities and we want to be involved in something special. And it was really great to see when we did change the name, we started running tournaments. We had players from across Canada come in and compete. Which was great. We had people in rural communities. We had people on Indigenous reserves, which was great. So, you know, we had a few like church youth groups that came to play from Southern Manitoba, which was really cool. We had a few players from Quebec, obviously a ton from Ontario. We had a lot from Alberta. We had a team almost all from Alberta play in CSGO and they won, which was really hype.
Nice.
And then we had a lot of, you know, BC players. We have like UBC Okanagan that have been participating in a lot of tournaments we've been running in the last year. And so there's been a lot of support throughout, you know, the major provinces to come out and just want to play. And I love that a lot. And like I said, there was so much demand that we just like, it would be foolish for us not to cater to those communities because they don't feel like their provinces are listening to them.
And I appreciate that you did that. And I just want to say it, not to cut you off, but just to say that is exactly how we felt with certain things in BC and Alberta. So the fact that you did expand and are including all of these other provinces is great, because you're exactly saying how I've been feeling about certain things. So it's awesome.
I wish it was that simple. Like I have been in and out of conversations with a lot of the other associations throughout Canada for the past year and a half. I mentioned the idea to them. I was like, what if you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is you have to promote it on your Discord channels. But I will run it with my team, CCS. It'll be super fun. And they said no. All of them said no.
I wish they would have said yes. How much that would have been crazy.
I wish they would have said, I mean, at the time they were just like, what does this look like? I'm like, this is what it looks like. And they made the accusation that I didn't have a plan of like how it would run. I told them, I'm like, all I need from you is just if I could like promote it and have your support behind it, that's all that I need. I'll do the rest. I'll do all the work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they still said no. And they're like, we've got other priorities. And then I remember one of them, one individual from the BC association came to me like, how do you write up a sponsorship proposal? And I'm like, are you serious?
They're saying you don't have it together, but they don't even know how to do that stuff, and they don't want to do that doesn't make sense to me.
So like I found that really hilarious, because like, well, what you're doing is working, so we want to know. And I'm like, that's not how it works. Like,
then work with us. Yeah, so yeah, you're so, offering to work with them.
Yeah,
and they're like, but can you help me?
Yeah, the only group that was actually really supportive of it was our group from the Ontario Esports League. Two of the individuals, Christian and Josh, who came from Uniting Gamers, they run a they have a great like tournament platform. Both of them, I've been friends with Josh for many years prior to that. They were the only ones that were really supportive of it. And Ontario Esports League kind of fell off. They haven't been that active in recent years because they haven't had time. They've been busy with other stuff. So because the fall of OESL, a lot of those people that were a part of their team came to us and started helping us with CECS. So it was a great partnership, but it was really sad to see that there just wasn't enough support from their side. From the Western provinces. They're just like, we don't care, like, whatever. And then when they ever need something from me, because they see what we're doing, they're like, oh, Mel, like, I want to DM you. We can get into a call. I'm like, that's not how it works here. So it was just, it's just kind of funny because we wanted to make sure that no one was feeling left out. And even if things don't always run as smoothly as we'd like them to, in terms of like tournament tournament organization, the planning and everything else, at least there's people that can hear you, that are giving you a platform, that are giving you a voice. And that's what I find to be the most, the best thing about what we do, is we don't want to let anybody not be heard. And I feel like a lot of those provinces have unfortunately let a lot of people down with just not being supportive of it. That doesn't all fall on, you know, the associations. It also falls on the governments, the provincial governments that do not support esports, or that have not been hearing that esports is something that kids in schools, or in post-secondary are wanting as a part of the curriculum, or as a part of like an extracurricular activity. So there's a lot of, I guess, blame to go around. And it also doesn't help when you have like big groups like TELUS that come in and are like, we're going to run things, and they don't.
Like, okay,
and they don't run it well, right? So there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of blame to go around, but it's unfortunate. And that's why we've been trying to change that narrative, and hopefully supporting, you know, good talent. Like we had a kid who was disabled. They didn't have an arm. We didn't know this, and they were playing in the league, and they won the league.
Really?
For League of Legends. Yeah, this was like last year. And I'm like, this is why we do it. We are like, this is a disabled kid who probably would have like, probably not able to play traditional sports. They have a passion for esports. They're really, really good. We gave them a platform, and they crushed it, and they won. Their team won, and he was one of the most outstanding players on their team. And like, that wasn't talked about. You know, and we've had players who've played in our league that have gone to playing in the pro leagues. And again, that wasn't talked about. Like, it's not like, it's just put under the rug. Like, who cares? So it's just been really great to see there's a lot of talent coming out, but I wish that they would be given more of a platform or like a spotlight on them because of how great they are and their story behind it.
100%. I agree with that. I have all the topics that we kind of talked about. It's been a great episode, over an hour long of straight esports. And I think it was a really good conversation. I think we had some really good points to talk about. And I really appreciate you coming on. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Any socials, anything where people can find you, anything you want to promote real quick?
Well, if everything goes well, hopefully, with the pandemic, we are coming with a live event in June. June 25th and 26th of this year. We've already got a venue booked, set in stone, Radisson Hotel in Winnipeg. We're getting like a whole like huge ballroom suite, got like tons of square footage, huge place, doing a lot of like great stuff. We're doing some VR, we're having vendors, we're doing we have gaming lounges, we're gonna do like a whole bunch of fun stuff there, so hopefully that works out. And otherwise, we've got a CECS tournament coming up this month still, 26th and 27th. We got Valorant coming back.
I'll be watching that.
And then we got Rocket League on the 5th and 6th of March. Yeah. So, oh, and the socials, I mean, you can follow us at Esports Manitoba on Instagram. I believe it's the same on Twitter. We don't really use Twitter that often, but... Or you can look at our website for updated information at manitobaesports.com.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and thanks everybody for listening.